children are dismissed for children's church. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day, for your Spirit that is alive and moving among us. May it continue to move among us as we hear from your word. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're going to dive right into Scripture here. We'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I just want to read this one verse, and specifically a part of the one verse, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Paul makes this very interesting statement that is a image that I think informs the passage we're going to look at today. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge." And then this is the part I want to talk about. "But knowledge puffs up, while love builds up." Knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. We know this to be true. Knowledge puffs up. We know people who we would classify as full of a lot of hot air, right? Usually it's because they have some sort of knowledge that you don't, right? Generally, I mean, you know, whatever that knowledge may be, and you may genuinely disagree with what they classify as knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And now, you know, I have two kids. 4 years ago, I probably would not have come up with this as an image to make sense of this, but today, I do. What you see on the left here is a bounce castle. You guys familiar with the bounce castle thing? Yeah? We have them at our block parties here every fall. And then on the right is your more standard playground, right? Where everybody's familiar with the standard playground, right? Well, I don't know if you know how these bounce castles work, but they are hooked up to a giant fan that is full of, you know, it's plugged in to something. You know, it requires electricity or a generator of, you know, of some sort. It needs power. And constantly, that thing is blowing hot air into that bounce castle the entire time. So if we had a power outage in the middle of this, you know, kids jumping in the bounce castle, it would just collapse on them, right? It just requires a constant flow of air to stay inflated. It's not something that you just blow up once and cork it and it's done and the kids start jumping around. No, that's not how it works. A playground, on the other hand, a stable piece of equipment, virtually indestructible because the people who put them together follow the instructions. Right? You know what I'm talking about, dads. Maybe some of you moms too. Yeah. But that's a stable piece of equipment, and it stands upon its own. Yeah, sure. Eventually, plastic can deteriorate after years and years and years of being outside. You know, if you have a wooden playground, wood can rot. It could get termites and things like this. But generally, you know, a playground doesn't require the sort of ongoing flow, the ongoing maintenance that this bounce castle requires. And I think that's how knowledge works. If knowledge is our priority, I mean, we're constantly trying to attain more and more and more. And if as part of our identity, we are a know-it-all, I've been there, or, you know, somebody who values being known as someone who is wise or knowledgeable, it's just constant. You have to keep on going and going and going. You have to keep on knowing more and seeking more information and accumulating. And pretty soon you know way too many facts about way too many things. And you have conversations with people and they're like, where do you spend all your time? Not that anybody's ever said that to me. But that is sort of how knowledge works, where love Love builds up. When we live our lives with love, when you see somebody, when you know somebody whose life is characterized by love, it is something sturdy, it has been put together, it is complete. And it isn't constantly searching for more, 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 but it is giving of itself. It is content. It stays, and it is stable, and it is a rock. So, that's our little introduction to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Last week, we did verses 1 through 7, which emphasized sort of the relational and personal aspects of love. This section, 8 through 13, takes love to sort of like this cosmic universal level. And you'll see what I'm talking about as we get talking about it. But this is big picture kind of stuff. But it's no less applicable to our lives. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Probably heard that last verse once or twice. Faith, hope, and love. Okay, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. So love is sort of contrasted with these three things, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. So these things, you know, we're basically using synonyms. The prophecies will cease, the tongues will be stilled, the knowledge will pass away. They're sort of just, the main point is that all three of these things will become irrelevant. Why? Verses 9 and 10. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, your translation may say perfection comes, then the imperfect disappears. This says when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Completeness and perfection are basically the same word in Greek. You can translate it either way. But what the gist of it is that when what is perfected comes, so now we've gone cosmic, we've gone to like this level of when all things are perfect, which we know is not the case currently. But when all things, when God's kingdom and love are fully revealed to humanity, and everything is in its right place, then, once all that happens, once it's perfect and complete, then what is in part, what is imperfect, disappears. So it makes sense. So, When everything is complete, when everything is perfected, when God has revealed all to humanity, then, well, what's the use of prophecy anymore? Because prophecy is sort of telling the truth about something, revealing some sort of truth that has not been revealed elsewhere, generally. I mean, that's what a prophecy is. Sometimes it's sort of this futuristic prediction thing, but generally, prophecy is speaking a word of truth to a particular situation and providing a new perspective. Well, if everything has been revealed, if God has sort of laid out all things, all mysteries, all knowledge, then there's no need for prophecy anymore because everything we speak will basically be prophecy, right? Prophecy will be the norm and it will no longer be a particular gift that other people need. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Tongues, the gift of the speaking in tongues is a sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was, you know, at Pentecost, it was this amazing sign that the Holy Spirit had come on the church in power. And speaking in tongues had this wonderful and amazing connotation. And it's sort of the anti-Babel. You know, when we have the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, where the people build this tower, and God sort of scatters their languages, and all of a sudden they can't understand each other. Here at Pentecost, people are speaking all sorts of crazy languages again, but suddenly they can understand each other. And so we have this long tradition in the church, and specifically in, you know, some currents of the church, continue to speak in tongues and have it as a vital ministry and part of what they do as a church. I haven't seen any of that here at Bretton Woods, but I'm not ruling it out completely. So that as a sign of the Holy Spirit, I mean, that's sort of the purpose of speaking in tongues, is to show the world that God is here and to communicate. Well, when all has been revealed, there's no need for that anymore either. Because everywhere you look around, everybody will be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no longer any need for that sign. There's no need for that anymore. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. We talked about knowledge, which puffs up. And I want to talk a little bit about Paul's preference to use the verbal form of knowing over knowledge as a noun. You know what I'm saying? To come to know is a process, and knowledge is a thing that we have or possess. So if you look back, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise." Well, Paul has a view. Actually, about a year ago, I preached on that passage when I came here to candidate as your pastor. Oddly enough, I just realized that.